Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
My friend, before we dive into today's Flip Empire Show, I wanna open up about something, and I wanna kind of put a feeler out there, as they say. So I've had obviously a lot more time to just kind of reflect, and one of the things that I just love doing is facilitating and leading a mastermind room. It's one of the things I get to do with my partner, Steve Cavanaugh, in Ascend, three times a year. And I've just, masterminds have had such a huge impact on my life and on my business over the course of the last decade or so. And when I couple that, you know, when I look at my vision, one of the elements on our vision is my wife and I, we love to travel to the Florida Keys. In fact, every year we usually rent there for a couple of weeks. We get a nice house on the water with a pool. I had the good fortune of doing so for my birthday in July. Celebrated my 40th out there in the Keys, and so much so that we're looking at potentially over the course of the next couple of years, maybe even getting a house on the water there in the Keys. I love it. If you've never been to the Florida Keys, the atmosphere, the environment, the people, it's just such a laid back, cool community. It almost feels like you're not even part of the. So if you've never been to the Florida Keys, it's a gem. Highly recommend it. And this might be your opportunity to combine the two, to be in an environment that's inspiring, to be able to travel and go to the Florida Keys and do so while masterminding with just an incredible group of people. So here's what I'm thinking. I am in stone. I don't have dates carved out yet, but here's what I'm thinking of doing. And I want to kind of just put out a feeler and see if you might have any interest in joining me, because it's going to be very limited, very intimate for a select group of people. It will be by invite only, but I am thinking of hosting a private, exclusive, intimate mastermind at a house in the Florida Keys that I'm going to rent. It's going to be a two-day mastermind. And when I say mastermind, it's going to be an actual challenge-based mastermind. It's not going to be where somebody's going to be at the front of the room teaching for an entire day. It's not a seminar. It's not anything like that. It's the opportunity for us to dive deep on your business and or life. And address whatever's holding you back from getting to where you want to go. You know, when we look at where you are today and where you want to go, we want to help you build that bridge and knock down any roadblocks or barriers that are preventing you from getting there. And I'm thinking this is going to be 8 to 10 people, maybe 12 max, but I'm probably thinking it's going to be closer to 8 to 10 people. We're going to mastermind at the house. We've narrowed it down to a handful of just beautiful houses that have a pool, that are on the water, and we're going to get to enjoy that environment and that lifestyle and kick back and go deep in the mastermind, but have fun in the process. So it is going to be an experience. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you have any interest in that, head over to flipempire.com/private. flipempire.com/private. It's a simple web form. It'll take you a quick minute to fill it out. It's basically just you raising your hand. There's no commitments or anything like that. In fact, I'm not even 100% sure that I'm going to do this. But I'm leaning towards doing it because I know it would be a lot of fun. And I know that I have the ability to select the right people. It would be by invite only. I want to be very upfront and tell you it's not going to be cheap. There is going to be an investment. It's probably going to be on the low end, $5K. To be able to participate. So if that's not something that you're able to do right now, I completely understand. Just if you could, just don't apply. But if it's something that you'd have interest in rubbing shoulders with just the right people, rubbing shoulders with people that are going to be go-givers, non-judgmental, pour into your business and or life, whatever's holding you back, and just experience this. In the Florida Keys, be a part of a true mastermind. If it's something you have interest in, head over to flipempire.com/private. Just let me know. We'll be in contact. And if I decide to do it, I'll basically just give you a call. We'll have a quick conversation to see if it's a fit. This is not going to be for everyone. Again, it's going to be limited, 8 to 10, maybe 12 people at most. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm getting more and more excited about the prospects of doing it. And at this point, I'm just kind of putting out a feeler and seeing if you have any interest. I have not put this out on social media yet. I haven't even emailed my list about this yet. You are the first one to hear about this here on the podcast. So at least at the time of this recording. So if you have any interest, head over because if I do decide to do this and I kind of show you guys the house I'm looking at and what the experience is going to include and what it's going to be like, it will fill up. I have no doubt about that. So anyway, let me know if you have any interest, flipempire.com/private. And we'll go from there. Matt Fullerton in the house, back on the show for the third time. What's up, my man?
What's up, dude? Good morning.
Good morning, buddy. How are you, man? How's everything?
It's going real well. Yeah, it's we're enjoying this seller's market that we're in right now, and you know, we're having fun trying to figure out what we're going to do and how we're going forward and everything like that. It's been an adventure, and I'm big on adventure, so I'm digging it.
I know you are, dude. I know you are. So, man, every time I connect with you, man, you put a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny? You know when somebody's funny because you start laughing in anticipation or advance before they even say anything? And that's how I find myself with you, man. But aside from you just being just a genuine quality dude, just really impressed with what you and your partner, Daryl, another great guy, what you guys have built, when you guys have done in a short amount of time is, my man, it's nothing short of impressive. I mean, you take... You know, everyone you says take action, right? I feel like that's so overused, but you guys are like the poster child for that.
Yeah, we like to take action. Daryl's a saint. You know, I couldn't do any of this without him. He has to put up with my ass every day, and he, we are good at that. We are good at taking action and knowing when we have to do something. We're not big thinkers. We're more doers.
No doubt. So let me kind of set the stage here for this particular Facebook Live and for this podcast episode that we're doing here. I see people hopping on here live. So just so that you guys know, for those of you who are watching us live, we're going to be taking any of we're going to be answering any of your questions. So I see, look, Kia's ears must have been ringing, right? What's going on, Kia? So Kia's in the house. Welcome, Kia. If any of you guys have questions for myself or for Matt, you know, feel free to cue them up. And throughout the show, I'll be asking Matt some of your questions. So anything and everything you guys want to know about Matt, about me, about our businesses, whatever the case might be, we are open books. But I want to encourage you first, before we get going here, Matt, this is his third time on the show. I was just joking with him that within like the last 60 episodes, Matt is the first guest to make it on here three times within like a 60 episode window. Usually I like to wait like 100, 150 episodes before having somebody back on.
And reserve.
But you're a stud, dude. You're a stud. But no, guys, episode 390, episode 424. So on the last episode, Matt revealed how he and his partner, Daryl, essentially closed $940 in wholesaling fees in 2019. And I'm kind of chuckling here because I always like mess with Matt. We were at our last Ascend Mastermind retreat. And I'm like, dude, you couldn't have like gone the extra mile to make the extra 54 grand to just make it a cool million in wholesale fees. And so I always give him shit about that.
I'm very salty about that still. That's why Terry Royce was writing 946 on little things and passing them to me in the middle of the day. I appreciate you guys ribbing me about
that. Hey, man, let me tell you, Matt, when making 946 grand in wholesale fees, when that's a bad day, like you're doing something right, right?
Yeah, so, I'll take that.
Yeah, no, we're just messing with you, man. But guys, I definitely want to encourage you. So it's interesting, Matt and his partner had a non-compete. And in 2019, they were not able to do direct mail. They weren't able to do the traditional marketing channels, texting, cold calling, all that kind of stuff that you and I have the flexibility and the freedom to do. And so they had to get creative. They went outside the box and they essentially were able to tap into a marketing channel that cost them $0. It was just time, energy, and effort. And that was mainly responsible for a big portion of that 946 grand. So definitely check it out. That's episode 424 on the Flip Empire Show. And today we're gonna keep the conversation going. Obviously, we're dealing, 2020 has been a very interesting year. It's been a blessing in many ways. And I think that's just all perspective, how you choose to see things, but it's been different. And I'd be lying to you if I told you at times it hasn't been challenging, right? COVID hit around mid-March. And we're in a different market, right? There's a lot of uncertainty in the air. And Matt and his partner, Daryl, have had to tweak and modify and change some things in their business to make sure that they're doing what they got to do and that they're closing deals and that they're set up to not just survive, but to thrive. So, brother, why don't we pick up the conversation there? What have things been like you know, how did you guys start the year? And then mid-March came around, COVID struck. Kind of like, just give us a timeline of what 2020 has been like for you guys from a business perspective. And by the way, I want to encourage you, let's not, you guys, if you've been following me on the show, one of the things that I will not do is just focus on the wins and just focus on the success, because that's not life. Like, for as many wins as we have, we probably have significantly more mistakes and we have more failures, which are disguised as learning lessons, right? And Matt's no different. I'm no different. So we're not just going to share the wins, but we're going to share the struggles as well. So with that being the backdrop, go ahead, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously at the beginning of this year, we thought we'd just carry last year through. You know, we had some some paid marketing going on right now through partners, joint venture partnerships for leads and things like that. And, you know, that was picking up real well at the beginning of the year. So we were like, okay, you know, here we're in for another big year wholesale. Maybe we'll pump the brakes a little bit on flipping houses, on doing flipping or doing any, you know, other types of acquisitions. And then, you know, COVID hit. First thing that happened was the market was, you know, steadily going up. Right. We're seeing, you know, hey, there's a lot more, there's higher price sales on market. They're starting to get ridiculous. Right. And then COVID hit. And what we saw immediately then was a lot of hard money lenders going under. You know, we saw a lot of people who had houses that, that they were working on that all of a sudden, you know, ran out of cash, ran out of money. You know, people aren't able to pay their rent. People aren't able to pay their mortgages. And Daryl and I sat down and talked about this. I said, man, there's 20 million people out of work. Right. There's a lot of these hard money lenders are down. So a lot less people are buying wholesale. You're not getting the one-offs that you used to get. You're only getting really established people. Meanwhile, the market here anyway, is crazy. It's at an all time high. And I mean, like, every house is getting over asking, no closing help, all those kinds of things. We said, look, you know, what we can do is, you know, we've done a couple of flips before. We need to do more. Like, we, instead of taking a 15 grand, 20 grand wholesale fee, let's take this house down and sell it for make like 80 grand. So the way we originally kind of figured out to do that, one of the ways that's worked is a good friend of ours that comes to our meetup, comes to our RIA group. She called me about towards the end of March, or, you know, right in the middle of COVID, and said, hey, I bought this house. It's in North Beach. I know you like that area. When I got to the table for closing, the hard money lender backed out. Hmm. You know, they decided not to close. And she said, you know, I had to cash out my 401k to close and, you know, do the right thing by the seller. So, you know, first of all, kudos to her. You know, she put herself in a tough spot to keep her promises. And, you know, that's a big deal. But she said, hey, I'm a little nervous. You know, I don't have any cash now. And will you buy this house? So I said, sure. You know, it was a good deal what she was asking. And we bought it and finished it up a couple weeks ago. And it sold for, it's the highest price. It's the highest sale of any like house in the area ever, by okay. like 35 grand.
By how much?
By 35 grand. So it's okay. By far the highest sale of any kind. It's a split foyer. It's by far the highest sale of any split foyer in the zip code ever. You know, and we hope it appraises, but you know, so we saw that and we're like, you know, geez, you know, we could tell as we were renovating it, our original asking price went up. You know, what we thought we were going to list it for went up by 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, went up by 60 grand. By the time it was all said and done. And that's over the course of a few months. So we were like, shit, you know, we need to do this more. So, you know, we have another one that's under construction right now. We're getting ready to, we have contracts out on a couple that we're going to start construction on. And the other one we have it under construction here. We thought we were going to list it for about 250. And now we think, you know, 279 is probably where we'll go. And okay. it could even be more. So right now what we're seeing is ARVs are steadily climbing. Acquisition prices, they're climbing too, because sellers know, you know, hey, like, agents can now list as is houses for crazy money on the market. So yeah, it's really important to, you know, get in front of sellers and offer the value that your company has and everything like that to buy, not charge commissions, not charge closing costs, all that. But we just figured, hey, we need to transition. We're still wholesaling, you know, but what I tell people all the time is like, hey, Matt, if you get a good deal here, I said, look, man, if I get a really good deal anywhere, I'm taking it down. Yeah. The others, the stuff that, you know, is further away or I don't like as much or isn't really in our purview, we'll send that out and wholesale it. But everything else we're going to take down. And we've been lucky enough to get in touch with a couple of really good contractors. And we think we're going to even, you know, expand this model into next year too.
Wow. So I want to unpack there, right? I'm going to present two different schools of thought. And okay. I want you to kind of elaborate and let's go deep in this because I said most schools of thought. There's one line of thinking, school of thought, whatever you want to call it, that says, hey, when you're really damn good at something, double down, triple down, keep the focus on that, right? I think of books like The One Thing. I think of The Pumpkin Plan, you know, Rhinoceros Success, you know, charge ahead one thing. There's another school of thought that says, you know, in business, you got to be flexible. You got to be nimble. And you can't always try to fit a square into a circle, right? For you, you guys, obviously, what percentage in 2019 was wholesale to fix and flip?
We did zero fix and flip. So it was 100% wholesale.
100% wholesale. You guys had obviously record year, you know, but pretty much, I mean, you guys are fairly new to the business. You've been in real estate. You got a lot of experience, but first time being in business, you guys crush it. Almost $1 million in wholesale fees.
Yep.
COVID hits. And now what percentage of, you know, you're taking it down, selling it to a retail buyer versus wholesale? What's the ratio or the percentage split there?
I would say the percentage of deals is probably like 70-30 wholesale right now.
Okay.
Wholesale about 70%, taken down about 30%, but the percentage of profits is more like 50-50 or even more. It might even be more on fix and flip because we're not to brag here, but we're hitting home run after home run on the fix and flip side. Like we're not, you know, we're making huge amounts. So it's, I would say, yeah, it's probably the opposite.
Okay.
70-30 wholesale, the profits 70-30 fix and flip.
Got it. So hold that thought, because I'm sure at some point in this episode, we're going to talk about how you guys are hitting home run after home run on the fix and flip side. But for you, man, like what's the balance between really focusing on what you're good at and doubling, tripling down on that versus, hey, you got to know when to kind of be flexible and when you need to kind of, I hate to use the word pivot, right? That's another word that's so overused, but when to transition your business model and kind of go in a little bit of a different direction and taking what the market gives you. Like what's the balance in your mind between those two schools of thought?
So to me, it's really if we see, you know, opportunity that's just, you know, just stays banging on that door, right? Like we, you know, we resisted doing fix and flip for a little while just because we are good at wholesale. We are good at acquisitions, but we have all the tools and resources, the experience to do fix and flip. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a big transition for us. And also, you know, I get the focus mantra. I get the, hey, stick with what you're good at mantra. But I also think it's important that, you know, if it's something that's in the same vein, you know, the same industry, if you can be good at more than one thing and, you know, increase those revenue streams and protect yourself if one segment of it goes away, because in my opinion, wholesale is not going to really be a thing next year. You know, and I think there's 30 million people out of work. There's, you know, there's no evictions until the end of the year, at least here anyway. So I think next year we're going to see foreclosures, tenants out. We're going to see another REO boom, and it's going to be, hey, cookie cutter, Home Depot renovation, all the products warehoused, just crank through quick rehabs of cheap houses that are, you know, REO. And wholesale might not even be necessary because it necessary in 2013, 2014? Not really. You know, you could buy stuff on market. So, I mean, we'd love to wholesale more, but we, at the same time, you know, we're not going to double down on it as I see the industry kind of transitioning away from that for now. And then when that inevitably changes, we can come back to it.
Right. And you know, what I'm hearing, guys, is context matters here. So Matt and his partner, Darrow, it's not like they had never rehab before. It's not like they're newbies to the game. Like they had, what I'm hearing, Matt, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you had the resources, you had the team, you had all the systems in place. It was just a matter of, you know, in 2019, that wasn't the focus. And now with the retail market being so hot, you know, in this pandemic, which is kind of ironic, right? That the retail market is just so crazy hot in this pandemic. You guys are just taking the gift the market gives you.
Yeah. What I said, you know, we're taking, you know, basically the market's just throwing money at us, you know, on the fix and flip side. So we're like, hey, you know, we're gonna take that. And that, you're right, context is important. You know, I would not get into something like, you know, I would not try to get into something with zero experience, and not, at least not without a mentor or a partner who would be, you know, there to hold my hand or anything like that. Correct. So we didn't want to go straight from wholesaling to, you know, syndicating apartment complex deals or anything like that. You know, we didn't want to make that jump, but we wanted to take the next logical step. And we can rehab single family houses, we can buy multifamilies, we can do that kind of thing. We're real good at acquisitions. We're good at operations. So we know that what we can work on and what specific lines of real estate we should invest in.
Which is really interesting you bring that up, because I remember our first Ascend Mastermind retreat last year. You know, one of the things that you brought up during your turn was, hey, Darrow and I were considering getting into multifamily, correct?
Yeah, we've considered that like 10,000 times. Yeah.
So walk us through, like, obviously multifamily, it seems like just everybody's pouring into multifamily over the course of the last year and a half, 2 years. What was it in that particular instance, and even today, where you guys have decided, hey, let's not go in that direction? Is it because it's not in the same vein like you were saying before?
Yeah, it's not in the same vein, A, and B, we were like, man, we just really don't know that much about it. We really need to learn more, get with someone. So it's important to me to get with someone who's done something before and, you know, kind of and provide value to them. Like, hey, what can I provide value with someone who wants to buy apartment complexes or wants, you know, I can help with acquisitions. I can help with sales. I can do all these things. Here's the value I can provide to the team. You've got the knowledge, you've got the experience. That's the value you provide. So if there's not a situation like that, I'm reluctant to jump into something and take focus off something that I know we're good at and we can make profits off of. And then as the year progressed, I started getting worried about multifamily in general, with retail, commercial, like you said, what's 1 in 3 tenants isn't paying their rent. There's eviction freezes through the end of the year. Right. I mean, I think we're going to see a bloodbath in multifamily. And yeah, of course I could be wrong. You know, I'm no economist. I'm not the brightest guy in the room here, but I would say that, just based on the way the market's been trending and the way things are happening in the country right now, that it's a little more risk than we wanted to take.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's obvious for you guys, you made the right decision. Right. And what I want to highlight and underscore here that I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle of our conversation is that a big part of this is being an entrepreneur is a self-awareness game. You gotta know what your strengths are and the value that you bring to a table when you're considering anything, you know? So like you bring up a really good point. It's sometimes I see so many people out there that are trying to do this business as operators, but they're not built and meant to be operators. It's not to say that they can't succeed if they really lean into it, because like we're so capable. I mean, we have so many God-given gifts and talents but it's a matter of discovering what those are. And you're going to be more successful if you lean into those versus trying to just work on your weaknesses and do something that just, it's not your strength. Right. And so I don't know if you agree with that statement, but that's something I see a lot.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. Like, I think that, you know, I'm bad at math, right? Long division, anything like that. You know, I could practice forever. And what am I going to do? I'm only going to get to be about okay at it, right? I might get to average if I'm lucky. But if it's something I'm already good at, I already have natural aptitude for, if I've already been practicing, I can take that and max it out, right? I can get really good at that. So which would you rather do? Be really good at one thing or, you know, okay at like 5 things? And to me, I'd rather be really good at one thing. I don't give a shit about the other 4 things. I can get someone to do those things for me who is good at them, right? Like people are good at all kinds of different stuff out there. And, you know, you don't have to do everything. You can find someone to do it or you can learn about it. But if you're good at something, you know, that's where you should focus your energies.
So, dude, what's been the biggest challenge for you, Darryl, and the rest of your team in transitioning from going 100% wholesale in 2019 to about now 70% wholesale and 30%? Because when you take down a property, there's some time, energy, resources, et cetera, that you got to devote to that project. What's been the biggest challenge for you in making this transition?
So early on, there were, you know, since we were taking a couple of properties down that we would have, you know, had, there's cash there, you know, cash flow is a little different with fix and flips because you've got a lot of capital out and then you've also got to wait for your profit. And even if you buy the property, if you wholesale it, you know, you might wholesale it the next day, it might close in 2 weeks and, you know, have your money. With these, you know, you're buying it, you're renovating, you're putting money out, you're putting it on the market, it's getting sold, then they close in 30 days, you know, it's months, right, before you realize a profit. So making sure that we had our cash flow situation in hand was really important to make sure we didn't just run out of money. And then also trying to decide, you know, looking at properties more thoroughly and trying to decide, hey, which ones we wanted to take down and which ones we didn't. And that hasn't been as challenging as we thought. And then also just, you know, getting consistent deals. It's been much harder to get deals lately, at least for us, because houses are selling for so much on the market. So we've really had to sell ourselves and our service and what we do. And we've been lucky to have a lot of good partnerships and things that have helped support that.
So elaborate a little bit on that. I mean, you talk about partnerships that are supporting you guys from an acquisitions perspective. Go a little bit deeper there. What exactly do you mean? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So one of the things that I like to do is I always like to reach out to agents, brokerages, and say, hey, if you guys have come across, you know, ugly deals, houses that don't belong on the market, you know, things that might sit for a while or things that gross you out, like call us. Keep all your commission. Keep here at 6%. I'm like, keep all 6%. Don't worry about buyer's agent commission. You don't even have to write up a listing agreement, paperwork, just I'll buy it. You get your commission. We move on with our lives. Everyone's happy. So I reach out like that a couple times a week to just different brokerages on my social media, all that, just to keep it top of mind. I also, pay referral fee to anyone, friends, family, it doesn't matter. Anyone who refers me to a house that we buy, I'll pay them $1,000 cash at settlement. That's a that as well. And then we have, because we were so good at acquisitions with old leads, a couple of the companies that we had worked with in that vein decided that they just wanted to spend their digital marketing budget and have the leads come directly to us. So
got it.
You know, we have a pretty substantial digital marketing budget every month, and the leads come directly to us. We work them and we split the profit on the back end with the people who pay for the budget. Got so it. We still have, you know, we still don't have a marketing budget. I mean, it's really all like grassroots or other people's money.
Okay. My man, can I give you a suggestion here live on the show?
Yes.
Okay. So how many, first of all, I love everything you shared, and I'm hoping people like grab onto that, because like you said, you guys are generating so many leads and you're not even having to spend, like your overhead is pretty low. You're not having to spend a lot of money on marketing. Yeah. You talked about referrals. What percentage of your deals would you say ballpark are coming from referrals?
20, about 20.
20% where you're actually paying dollars at closing?
Yeah. Yeah. We, so, okay. Like to friends and family, not agents.
Yeah. Yeah. Friends and family.
About 10%. I think we paid out, I think we've paid out like $8,000 that way so far this year. Okay.
10% is still a pretty significant number if it's coming from referrals. Here's my suggestion for you, because for years we operated giving $1,000 referral fees to people.
Yeah.
One of the things that we started doing about a year and a half ago, and we've done it probably on two or three different occasions. So our referrals are not nearly as high as yours, but the referrals that we have gotten over the course of the last couple of years, we pay out $5,000.
Yeah.
When you tell someone, hey, it's a $5,000, everyone and their mom pays out $500,000, in some cases $1,500 referral fee. Brother, I want you to 5X that referral fee, because what's your average profit per transaction?
On fix and flip right now, it's north of 90. I think it's just shy of 20, like 19. Okay, so
first of all, we got to dive into that pretty soon here before we hop off. You're smashing the fix and flip. If you guys
we've had a solid few.
Jesus. All right. We got to dive into that. But Ben, if you're making $20,000 and I said, hey, instead of 20, you're going to make 15, but it's a lead or a deal you wouldn't have otherwise gotten. Like when you tell people that you're willing to pay them I'm telling you, just test it for a month. People's ears perk up when you tell them, hey, it's $5,000. $1,000 is nice. $5,000 to some people is just game changing.
It's a whole month. It's a whole month of bills for a lot of people, man. It's Christmas present. Yeah, I know. I hear you.
So that's my suggestion, man. Just up your referral fees, and I think you're going to have more motivated people sending you things.
You will see a post later today about that, sir.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Fair enough. Awesome. So my man, let's get into the fix and flip side of things. Well, actually, I got one more question before we dive into that.
Yeah.
How are you determining what you're choosing to take down? Because you see that you want to maximize your profit on the back end, on the selling to a retail versus, hey, let's just go with the quick base hit. Let's make our 15, 20 grand on a wholesale. Like, do you have a formula? Do you have a way to determine what you're going to take down versus wholesale?
No, I mean, I wish I had a spreadsheet or something like that that would evaluate and share it for you. But, you know, people who know me know I'm not that, I'm not the analytical accountant type. I tend to go with my gut a little bit more. So for me, the things I look at is, you know, proximity to where we live, what contractors are available, you know, what kind of repairs we're looking at. Is it a massive job or is it lipstick and put it back on the market? What are we buying? What number are we buying it for? What could we expect to sell it for? How long is it going to take? That's a big one right now, because there's no way of knowing when this market's going to turn. And we look at all those things and evaluate them. And we tend to like things that are a little closer, especially where I live, because it's easier for us, for me and us to manage things. And we have the contractors over here, and we look at all those factors. And then I also look at, you know, hey, is this going to be something that might be fun to do? Because, you know, don't get me wrong, I have no problem with burning through cookie cutter flips and putting, you know, white granite, white shaker cabinets, gray floors, gray walls. Like there's plenty of value in that. You're providing nice housing to people. But sometimes, you know, in certain areas with cool houses, you got to create a little bit of art too, right? It can't just be, you know, something cookie cutter. You got to do something pretty. So, we think about that too. Like, hey, is this house going to be really cool? Is it something that's going to be fun to do? Is it something different? So I know that's probably, I know there's probably plenty of business people who are like, what the fuck? You know, that's not the way to go. But it's the way we are. So
yeah.
Those are the things we look at.
Got it. No, look, man, and I think there's something to be said for following your intuition, following your gut as an entrepreneur, especially if it served you really well. And for you, obviously, it has. And so I don't think everything always has to be so systematic. I do think there's a lot of value in having your cookie cutter standard process. And it's kind of like a machine. It's a wheel. You knock them in and you knock them out. But yeah. there's a lot to be said for just, you got to be having fun. You know, if you're not having fun doing what you're doing, that's a whole separate conversation. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's no point in any of this if we're not enjoying it, right? Like, what's the point? Why would we do something that we don't want to do? You know, then it's a job, right? Then I might as well go back to work.
100%. You know what I do want to mention though, and I don't think you said this, but I kind of read between the lines, is you got to consider the headache factor in deals as well. Because you can make a lot of money doesn't necessarily mean you should screw with it if the headache factor is going to be really high.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, you know, I'll tell Daryl, like, hey, look, this house is cool, but this deal is hairier than Bigfoot, man. Let's just hold
it. Hairier than Bigfoot.
Yeah, let's just move along with it and I'll sell it. You know, let's not do this one. Let's not take this one down. And I'm lucky, you know, Daryl, I have a really smart and competent, and you know, I have a business partner. I got really lucky with my business partner.
Daryl, you guys are both beasts. Daryl's another animal, man. He's awesome.
He is. He's very handsome too. I love that guy.
Yeah, he got all the looks in the partnership, right?
He got the looks and the brains, man. I'm not even sure what I'm doing here at this point. Daryl's the man, and he's real supportive, and he's good at, you know, calling me on my shit or if I start getting too far along down the line. And you know, that's something we all need a little bit of.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are you guys, I want to say, on average, obviously depending on the market, what part of the country you're in, on average, I see people making, you know, between 40 and 60 grand in their flips, right? Mm-hmm. In some cases, a little lower. There's not a whole lot of people I know. There's some, but there's not a whole lot of people that are, you know, on the brink of, you know, cracking six figures on their flips. You guys, you mentioned you've had a couple really good ones.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can draw from those high profit, those high margin deals that you guys have closed that you think you can replicate and share with everybody watching and listening?
Definitely. You know, I would say, you know, the first thing is, you know, buying them right is the thing that's where you make your money, right? When you acquire the property, that's really where you make your money. So, for flips, you know, we take the kind of Steve Cavanaugh model. We take, you know, 70% or less of ARV, less repairs, and we don't go above that. If it's more, hey, it's a wholesaler, not a deal. So that's number one. We make sure we buy properties right. And just to give you, if you want to get into real quick, I actually screwed one up not that long ago to talk about failures. There's a deal in Baltimore, and there's right where the Baltimore City and Baltimore County join. And it's like a neighborhood that crosses into both. Properties in Baltimore County are much more valuable than the properties in Baltimore City. And they pay, there's a lot less taxes, things like that. And I comped a city property to a couple of county properties and overvalued it, which I never do, but I just, you know, mm-hmm. I was just, you know, moving along, trying to do too many things at once and fucked up the comps. And, you know, we ended up having to forfeit a big EMD because I screwed up, you know, because I looked at a property the wrong way. So it's important to not just go all the time to slow down. And that's, you know, and that's my thing. That's the thing I'm good at, right? I always feel like I'm really good, like the best. Like I always feel like I'm the best at evaluating property values. And not that time, man. I was an idiot and cost us a bunch of money. So
how much money did you lose on that deal?
$5,000.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And it's because you had too much on your plate and you were just kind of like running and gunning. You were going too fast or like.
Yeah. I wasn't focused. I was trying to, you know, manage a project and do a bunch of stuff and call leads and everything like that. And I was just trying to do a little bit too much there. And I didn't pay enough attention. You know, I got a little lazy and sloppy and just, you know, drew my little circle on the MLS and was like, okay, cool. I didn't think about the county and the city issue and it came back to bite me.
Got it. What would you have done different going forward? Or like, is there anything now that, you know, that experience you're like, all right, I got to make sure I check these boxes before. I know you're not super systematic, but.
Yeah. So what I always do now, like this is something I had done before. And I just make sure if I'm close to Baltimore, I always check to see if it's a city or county. Because that makes a big difference. And we also just decided not to do any deals in Baltimore City. Baltimore City just isn't for us.
Okay. Okay. Any particular reason?
Oh, yeah. It's a tough place, bad economy, bad government, extremely tenant friendly, you know, takes a long time. Permitting process is crazy. Low value houses, a lot of blight, a lot of crime. It's just, you know, not a good city.
Got it. On these properties that you guys decide to take down, so 30% of your deals so far this year have been fix and flips. Are you trying to stay under a certain price point? I guess what I'm really asking that I think would translate as to some value for people watching and listening is how are you protecting yourself and your business from a potential downturn in the market or a shift? Maybe it's a rise in interest rates or any other number of things that could happen, particularly on the heels of an election coming up.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is right now, so we're looking at deals that aren't going to take us months and months and months. We did one in Chesapeake Beach that we made 88 grand on, but it took like 9 months. It was a mess from the beginning. It was a full gut and it needed new plumbing, new everything. There was all kinds of engineering work that had to be done to bring it up to, you know, code and all that stuff. It was just an ongoing, continuous process of, you know, one little thing that needed to be fixed after another, one thing that needed to be changed. And we don't want to get anything like that right now, because I kind of feel like 9 months from now, we're going to be looking at a totally different market. So right now, like right this minute, what we're looking at is we're looking at like townhouses, you know, 80s built or newer houses that we could, you know, we can fix up, but might not need all the guts taken out, you know, stuff that's not a disaster, stuff that's, you know, more lipstick or more cosmetic. That's what we're looking for right now to protect ourselves so that we don't, you know, overextend or have a 9 month project that kills us.
Right. Couple of practical things. Exactly what you said, man, is make sure that you're getting into price points that are, you know, the majority of people can afford. Ideally, cookie cutter properties that are not going to take you a long time, that you could be in and out. And also make sure that if you're going to fix and flip, and I guess this really applies no matter what you're doing, make sure you have a healthy cash reserves. You know, Make sure that you're not caught with your pants down, so to speak, and that you know you have you're protected. You're too many real estate investors, they get the money they make and they spend it on this or that, or they put it back into, and there's something to be said for putting it back into your business. Yeah. But read profit first, pay yourself first, and make sure you have a nice cushion.
Yeah. Buy a Tesla too.
Buy a Tesla. Talk to me, man. What is it about? Like, if people are joking now that, you know, to be a part of Ascend, it's like, you got to have a Tesla, you got to wear an Under Armour shirt. And obviously
I started the Under Armour. That was my thing.
Yeah. You're also the guy that has the Cybertruck on, you know, you've ordered the Cybertruck and I think you just took down the wire, right?
Yeah, I ordered the Cybertruck, but it's not going to be ready until like 2022. So it's going to be a while before. And then, the Model Y, I actually have delivery on September 24th.
Got it. Very, very cool. I'm picking mine up in a few days. I didn't get the Y. I went with the 3.
Oh yeah. I forgot you were checking. So we're going to have to, I'll send you a video of me and mine. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I'm ready to get that thing.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a fun car to drive, man. Definitely a fun car to drive. Let me ask you this, man, and we'll start to kind of wind down the show here. What's been the biggest lesson learned for you this year?
Oh, be adaptable, be changeable. Right. Yeah. Don't, you know, I think that everyone gets stuck in these, you know, as we get older, especially as we, you know, mature and, you know, have a lot of experiential learning, you tend to fall into these grooves, these thought patterns in your brain of how things are. And that has trapped me a lot of times, man. There's been so many times where I've been like, no, this is the way it should be done. Even if I see, you know, because of these grooves, you know, these thought patterns in my mind, and trying to get out of those and think outside the box is like an active conscious process for me. So I always try to look at things from, you know, a couple different perspectives, like, hey, this doesn't really look like a deal, you know, but what if maybe it's, you know, it's pretty clean. Maybe there's someone who wants to buy it as a flip or rental or something like that, you know? So I try to look at everything from multiple perspectives. And I also try to keep my finger on the pulse of the market. I'm lucky, you know, I deal with a lot of agents. I'm married to one and we're friends with a lot of them. So, you know, I can really get a good feel of the market, and I look at comps every day. So I see what's happening, the activity, and I try to make sure I'm on top of that and ready to adapt and change if need be. And also I'm always talking to people about other opportunities and possible streams of income that might, you know, that help, that we could use if we need to transition.
Yeah. Well, speaking of one of those, I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn or out of pocket here, but you put it on Facebook. Don't you have a pretty cool partnership here and a project that you're working on? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we can talk about it. It's real, or we're still kind of finishing up development of it, but HGTV, if you guys have seen the show Flip or Flop or Flipping 101, Tariq El Moussa, great guy. I'm friends with him. He, out on the West Coast, and we got together and decided to start a venture and acquisition. And it's a licensing venture, basically, for real estate investors, people who want to expand their business by leveraging, you know, a famous, you know, celebrity, more or less, and all the experience that he has. And, you know, I actually went out and helped Tarek develop his sales team and get everything together for so that, you know, to buy the houses that go on the show and buy the houses that they flip out there.
Yeah.
So what people are going to get is, you know, is content, branded content for their business with Tarek recommending them. You know, he's going to be in videos, print media, all that stuff for it.
Yeah.
In addition to that, they're going to get the sales process, scripts and things that we use to develop their team that's, you know, that buys houses out there like crazy and flips them and makes a lot of money. So it's, we're still in development here, but I wanted to get people under in the fold early because we've gotten a lot of interest. We've had a lot of people reach out. So I wanted, you know, people to be able to take advantage early on and be kind of on our first contact list. We can't even move the product quite yet, but I wanted to have people in the fold.
Got it. So guys, if you have any interest in connecting with Matt, we're not wrapping up the show just yet, but if you have any interest in connecting with Matt, asking him any questions about that or anything else, Matt at, go ahead, you say it, man. Chess House Hunters.
Yeah. Matt at chesshousehunters.com at chesshousehunters.com.
Yep.
And, the company is called Advent Acquisitions is going to be the one with Tarek and I and our partner, Josh.
Yeah. Well, brother, man, I'm genuinely happy for you. It sounds like a great opportunity. I think it'd be really interesting for people to hear how you connected with Tarek. How did you, because for people that don't know you, you're a sales ninja, like just sales. you were born, you came out of the womb and you were selling the doctor on not cutting your umbilical cord. You're like, no, it's going to hurt. you're just a really good sales guy. And you don't come across as a sales guy. So I know that was the connection. That was the bridge between you and Tarek, but talk a little bit about that relationship and how that came to be.
Yeah. We actually had a mutual friend who works out on the West Coast who knew him and had mentioned something. You know, he had said, hey, I need some help, you know, developing the sales team, getting better results. And a friend of mine was kind enough to say, hey, I know this guy, he's out on the East Coast, but he's a good salesperson. He's developed a lot of big sales teams and things like that. And he just, you know, group texted us one day and then we started talking initially just about, you know, bullshit day-to-day stuff. And then pretty soon it was, you know, hey, can you come out here and help me? And at first I was like, no, you know, I've got to focus out here. But then, you know, as we kind of developed a friendship, I was like, okay, you know, I can do this. I can come out and help. And so we went out there and met with him and I worked with him for about a week out there and we had a good time. He's a really, you know, really good guy personally, good family, everything like that. So it was, you know, and I was a little concerned. I was like, hey, this guy's, you know, famous. He might think his shit doesn't stink, but he's actually not like that at all. So it worked out really good. And, you know, we've stayed friends and we've looked at other ventures and that's how we came into this.
Yeah. Very cool, man. No, I love it, man. I love seeing good people win and dude, you're winning, man. And so I know from the last episode and from even the first one, I had people privately reaching out to me and you're an inspiration, man. And so that's the reason I wanted to have you back on here. By the way, Chris, really appreciate it. Great podcast. Thanks, Alex and Matt. No, thank you, man. Thank you for taking the time to tune in.
Thanks, Chris.
You know, dude, it's such an honor. It's a privilege. And to have you and Daryl as part of our, you know, Ascend Mastermind, part of that community.
We feel very lucky to be in it.
What was that?
We feel very lucky to be part of it.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. You guys just bring so much energy and so much insight and perspective. And one of the things I want to publicly just recognize you for, because I know it's not easy, is that, and by the way, I don't want to even get into that because that's private. That stays behind those four walls. But just the fact that you were so open and vulnerable and transparent, you know, at that last month here in Miami, at the last retreat, I don't want to get into any specifics about what we talked about, but what is opening up and getting vulnerable in that type of environment? If you could just talk about like what that does for you.
Well, I certainly can. So, you know, at the first couple of masterminds, I talked about, you know, business exclusively. It was all about business. And I was like, you know, what kind of value can I derive from, you know, talking about personal things or things of fears, concerns, issues? What kind of value can I derive from talking about that? And finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to talk about it this time and only that. So in the last mastermind I did, and I, you know, not to exaggerate, which I'm not, but it's, you know, it was really a kind of a transformative experience. It really helped, you know, to see other people's perspectives and get feedback from people on an issue that was, you know, really, you know, a serious issue that I hadn't really talked to anyone about. And it's important, you know, I got, you know, non-judgmental feedback. I got lots of great points and great advice. And it was also therapeutic just to talk about it and be there with other people who've had other issues like that and things like that. And it was, you know, it changed a lot of things mentally for me.
Yeah,
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. And I could see the weight being lifted off your shoulders, man. And you, so again, I want to publicly recognize you for that, because it takes, it takes a lot of courage, you know, to do that.
I really appreciate you guys having me and doing that. Well, yeah, it was huge.
Yeah. Thank you, my man. Thank you. So before we wrap up here, what's one thing that you would say? We're in the middle of a pandemic now, obviously. And you guys, you know, we've spent the last half hour or so talking about how you've had to transition your business. What's one takeaway or one thing you'd want to share with somebody that hears this, whether they're listening to it now, whether they hear it in the future, something that now you've got the benefit of experience and you know, you guys are thriving in this market. And that's not to say you haven't had your challenges, because you have. Every business has its challenges. Any takeaways or anything you'd share with someone to encourage them, as far as if maybe they're not doing very well in their business right now, you know, deals and acquisitions is challenging for them. Just any big takeaways for them?
My biggest takeaway, and it's going to sound kind of cliche and corny, but mine's always been, you know, not be afraid, not, you know, conduct business through fear or through a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
You know, it's to me, I'm lucky enough. I'm real fortunate that I'm one of those people who kind of always thinks things are going to work out. I'm not a worrier. So I know that's not the case for other people. And it's very hard to, you know, to push past that and persevere and work on things that you may be struggling with. But what I would say is, you know, if you feel that you're good at something or feel that you have a good opportunity, and there's some hard times, there's hard parts of it that you're struggling with, that, you know, that's part of the deal. You know, there's going to be struggles. There's going to be times you're probably going to be broke. Like, I've been broke. I can't even tell you how many times I've been like, okay, I've got $48 till Friday. You know, what am I going to do with that? I mean, I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me over the years. And there's going to be struggles and stuff. But if it's something you really want to do and something you're passionate about, then it's worth it. You know, just don't be afraid. Believe in yourself and continue to do what you know needs to be done.
Yeah, no doubt. And the last thing I'll piggyback on that is stop giving a shit about what other people think.
Yes.
Most of those people are not even focused on you. They're worried about themselves. So too many people are just acting out of fear based on the perception or what people are going to think of them. Stop giving a shit about what other people think. Do you focus on you? Focus on helping others, your family, your friends, et cetera. And just, we only got one crack at this thing called life, right? So,
yeah, that's exactly right, man. You get one shot at this whole thing. And, you know, if you worry about what everyone thinks or worry about how you look, you know, I know I just talked about getting a Tesla, but I've been driving a Prius for the last 4 years and it is not a cool car.
Nothing wrong with that, bro.
No, it's not. I have not gotten one like, oh man, sweet Prius. I mean, all my friends, everyone makes fun of me for that thing, but hey, it saved me a ton of money on travel around the houses. It's been a great car. You know, it's not the most beautiful thing in the world, but it has helped me in my business. And sometimes you got to make little personal sacrifices. You know, sometimes you got to, you know, eat the ramen, or sometimes you got to drive the shitty car. Sometimes you got to, you know, not buy the clothes that you want to buy. And sometimes you got to go to TJ Maxx to pick up your Under Armour instead of doing it on Amazon.com. You know, that's just how it is. And, you know, all those sacrifices are going to be worth it when you're cranking in big wholesale and fix and flip fees.
That's right. Dude, back in April, I got rid of my car because I couldn't justify between, you know, insurance and gas, $600 a month, when I wasn't even really using it that much. And I wanted to just be a good steward of the money that's been entrusted to me by God, right? Like, right. So I cut some things out, you know, right after this pandemic, because I just wanted to make sure that we were in a really, really good position. And even though I can more than afford it, it wasn't about that. It's just about being smart with the money that you have, you know? Yeah. So but by no means are we bragging about having this or that. Like, trust me, you and I have, dude, I think we're pretty smart, and we're pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? We don't just go throwing cash around on stupid things. I think you got to be a good steward of it.
I mean, I really wish I could, but I'm not. Yeah, we're not talking about. I'm not throwing cash around. If you have cash, if you have enough cash to throw around, I would recommend investing it in real estate.
Yeah.
As opposed to throwing it around.
Or working with a strong operator like yourself, you know, and figuring out ways to joint venture, which obviously you guys have mastered and you've done so well at that. So, Matt, thank you, dude. Thank you for coming on here, man, and for just for sharing your experience, your knowledge, your wisdom. Again, it's awesome to have you a part of Ascend. And I got much feedback the last time you were on the show. And so just thank you for just being open and just genuine, dude.
Thank you for having me, man. You handsome Caribbean prince, you.
Please, man. Come on, dude. No, man. Thank you for everything, dude. So, guys, connect with Matt. Let me throw it up here again. Matt at chesshousehunters.com. You're starting to get more active on Instagram as well. Facebook. You got a Facebook group for real estate investors, I think, in the Maryland area, right?
Yeah, it's in the DMV area, DMV Baltimore Metro. It's the Real Deals Real Estate Investor Group. We're up to like 1,600 members now, and we're doing live meetups again. We just had our first one since March last month, and we're going to do another one in October. So come on out. Come see us. We'll be happy to help you with the problems you have.
Yep. And by the way, that's also been a good channel for business and for helping people. So if you guys want to connect with Matt, reach out to him about that. George Rizzo, my man. Awesome, guys. Thanks. Kia, awesome show, guys. Thank you. Greg, what's up, Greg? Appreciate you, man. Thank you for joining, buddy.
Thanks,
yeah, man. So my man, Matt, anything you need, man, you know I'm here for you guys. Thank you so much. World Star Property Management. Thanks, Alex and Matt, for sharing. No, genuinely, thank you guys for taking the time. You have so many options to go out and get content and hopefully be a little bit entertained by Matt, not by me. So thank you guys for tuning into the show here. Really appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Matt, forever, baby.
Hey, my man. Appreciate you, bro.
See ya.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.